Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello there and welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. Just before we get started, wanting to give a shout out to our sponsors, Football Prizes. If you go over to footballprizes.co.uk, you'll find this week's Celtic prize, which is a Celtic Legends signed and custom framed Celtic shirt. It's signed by a few of the Seville heroes. They've got Alan Thompson, Chris Sutton and Rab Douglas on there. It's a nice custom frame as well. There's also some instant win prizes, including a signed James Forrest montage and some site credit as well. There's 125 tickets available for this, and if you want 10% off your ticket cost, just put in a code 4x10 at checkout and that will get you 10% off. The competition ends next Monday, the 27th of February at 7:30, so be the perfect way to end what will hopefully be a perfect weekend for the Celts if you were the one that's lucky enough to win one of these prizes. But yeah, thanks to footballprizes.co.uk for their continued support and we will get on with the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times in the Podcast. You join us on Monday the 20th of February. It's Monday night. We are just about 2 days since Celtic were in action. They won at home against Aberdeen. It was the goal by Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate, he got a double, and Leo Labada got the fourth for a pretty comfortable 4-0 win. Danny, what did you make of Saturday's game? I know we've got important things to discuss later on in this episode, but we'll focus on the matter in hand. Another impressive performance where the stat we mentioned last week, Celtic continued to score over 3 goals in the game.
Aye, I thought Saturday they were nearly flawless on Saturday, just a few missed chances after it being probably even better. Thought it was potentially my performance of the season. I thought the team were really good. I was lucky enough to be there. I've seen Celtic play 4 times this year, I think. Live, we've scored 4 and 3 of them, and we've scored 3 in the other and missed a penalty. So, it's obviously goals are guaranteed when I go. So, I'm a great start after about 90 seconds when McGregor scored. And, but even before McGregor's goal, as early as it was, Celtic were right out of traps. And I think there was a ball flashed right across goal. I think it was Jota just before the goal. And you had 3 or 4 bodies streaming into the box. Matt O'Reilly basically played, in the first half anyway, basically played a second striker. He was as far up as anybody else. And they just set about Aberdeen for the minute goal. It was like Aberdeen are a team that have got no confidence at the minute. Everybody knows of how bad they are. They've just got nothing going for them. And you just thought, if we score early, it could be a long day for them. And then I think we were 2 up after 13 minutes. And you would have thought we'd have only scored 6 or 7 after that, but it wasn't to be. But it was great. The whole team were brilliant. And you don't, they're starting to click at the business. Not starting to click, because we've been really consistent all season. But I think they're getting even better as the season goes on. And they've had spells where they were just doing enough to win games. And, you know, after the World Cup and stuff, people were worried. And then we went to Hibs and were brilliant. And I just thought on Saturday they were just great. I thought the first half, especially the first 45 minutes, I just thought it was as good as I've seen us play this season. And Hatate obviously will get all the plaudits because he was man of the match. He was outstanding. Some just the spaces that he takes up on the park, and he's always willing to go for the ball, which is a really good sign. And he's never flustered. Sometimes he's got three, four men running him. He knows what he wants to do. I thought he took his two goals really well. And he missed an all he can had a pot shot. Snatched at it in the first half for another goal, but just all-round brilliant performance, and it's good to see them playing like that. You get a wee buzz out them playing like that, because you know they could rattle in 3-4 goals and you know look good, but they every player's flying, you know. And some of the fit in the first half was unbelievable. They were trying to think exactly, but I think there was two, but it was just a great move. I think we're both doing the left wing, but it was just two great moves. I think one Maeda flashed it across goal, and a couple of them and always unlucky in a couple of occasions. I actually like to look at him. I've seen a few folks say he wasn't good enough. I thought he played quite well and he was getting up to speed, and he looks like a handful for defenders, and he fancies it and all. I think he backs himself to do well, because he was always looking to pull off that kind of turn on the defender and have a shot. He was always looking to get that away. Like at least two occasions, just great fitment on the left. I think one was Maeda and the other one was O'Reilly, where they just smacked that across goal. And then Johnson came right on it again. He had a great cross in the first half for Jota, who kind of think he shut his eyes because he headed it kind of into the ground. Kind of hardly made any contact and went out of the bar. But now Saturday was just great, because you know, there are games where you look up and you think, oh, the you know, home win, home bank or whatever. But we've seen, not just under Postecoglou, but under all our managers in the past, that these games can end up quite tricky. And I was criticising the Aberdeen away support for how small it was, but it fairly filled up before the game. But they'd nothing to cheer about on Saturday. Celtic were really, really good, and you know, we're an off 3 points close to the title. But again, if it counts, you know, we've gained another goal over the team that are apparently brilliant. So it wasn't a bad Saturday.
I definitely, as you say, we did extend a lead, even if it was just by goal difference, but it's been a fantastic record we've had, especially at home. Nobody's took it in for us in the league, so definitely something that's got, even like the early start to Ange's career, the three defeats in the first six were away from home, so it's just been something that's been consistent about this team. But Andy, who stood out for you on Saturday?
I think the big one's obviously got to be Hatate. I thought he was exceptional, as he often is and has been this season, but I'm running out of adjectives to describe a boy and describe his performances. I've said it on here before, I've said it to just about anybody that I've had a conversation with about Celtic this season, that I think he's got the highest ceiling out of any player up here, and probably any Celtic player that I've seen for 10, 15 years or something like that. Honestly, I really believe that boy can go as far as he wants in football, and you see it time and time again. And I thought his performance was just phenomenal. He's controlling the ball, as Danny mentioned, the positions he takes up and puts himself in. Always wants it, always wants to make things happen. It's left foot, right foot. Knows how to use that sort of low centre of gravity. Can pass, get vision, can score goals. There's really nothing the boy can't do. And he just when you think you've seen him do it all, he just takes it up another level. And it's phenomenal to watch him at times, it really is. I think he was obviously the big standout. I was really happy with what I seen Ao. Obviously that was his first start. I think he's got a lot to offer. I think I was happy with quite a bit of what he'd done. I was a bit gutted he didn't get a goal, but I think there's going to be more for him. I would say he looks as if he's going to need a bit of game time. Obviously he's not played too much since before he came in, and I think that's been sort of well documented before, in terms of needing to sort of build up fitness to sort of really play catch up with the rest of the team. I'm really, really happy with what I've seen for him, and I think we're on to a good thing with him. I think it's been another good bit of business, which I don't really think was in any doubt. I think again McGregor, good value for his goal, you know what you get with him. And then you're looking at obviously the rest of the team. I think it was one of our better performances. I've got to agree again. I was sitting at half time at the game, and I was sitting there going, see if we were 5-6-0 up at half time, I don't think anybody would have been a bit surprised. Just given the way the game was going, we really could have had many more goals. And same way, if the score line had finished, well, to be fair, we would probably, if all the chances were taken, you're talking about a 6 or 7-1, given Joe Hart tends to take a rush up with the lead from time to time. But other than that, and him doing that, I don't think they actually had a shot on goal. And I don't even think that resulted in a shot on goal. So tells you everything you need to know about how fucking rank rotten they are. But I think a lot of it was down to, obviously, they are fucking shite, right? There's no getting away for that. But just how good we were. We were just fucking rampant on the ball at times. It was that relentlessness, and it's always there. Iwata, another one I think should mention when he came on, really, really tidy. It allowed McGregor to go forward. You've seen sort of why we brought him in. Because as soon as he came on, McGregor sort of moved up next to Hitati, and Iwata was sort of doing that role, sitting in front of the defence, didn't take the ball and try to make things tick. But I think you see him, he's not just that number six that's going to sit there and look that Eton mould, if you like. He's a bit more similar to McGregor, that he will get forward if the chance comes. I think there was one he made a sort of bursting run on the right-hand side of the Aberdeen Pokes at one point, and it didn't come off, but you see he was quite keen to get forward, and he obviously really come from the ball, so looking forward to seeing a bit more of him. Do you know what I mean? He get player of the year in a league that we've obviously seen a lot of success in buying players for, and I thought he was really tidy when he came on, so it was another one I was happy with. But I thought, I've got to agree, Darren, ultimately I thought it was one of our better performances of the season. And that says a lot given some of the results and the pumpings that we've already dished out. And I just think the 4-0 probably flattered Aberdeen. They've got away without taking a proper doing. But I think that's mad because the game was really done and tied up, and we probably took an eye off the game and started looking towards the final, and no stupid injuries, nothing that was unnecessary, just professional get out of the line. Once we got by half time and that's what we've done. So I really wasn't, again, thought Itati's just the absolute standout, as he often is, and it's a pleasure to watch that boy play football, honestly, because there's nobody with a higher ceiling in Scotland at the minute than him, and I truthfully believe he could go and play anywhere if he keeps going the way he's gone.
Aye, definitely. I think it was just yet another fantastic performance for him. He really has been, took it up a level. I know, obviously, when he joined us last season, I think a few months in, there was a sort of fatigue, both mentally and physically, probably, that was to be expected after a full season in Japan. And I think this season he's just been Mr. Consistent in the midfield. But I think that in general, the midfield has been pretty decent this season. Like, obviously, Cal McGregor, even when he was out, you've had guys like Moy come in. I know O'Reilly only got his first goal of the season last week, but he was top in the assist charts as well. So I think it's been a really sort of standout position for us in terms of performance levels, and for Hitati to consistently be getting singled out is just a real praise for him. And I think you're right, obviously the game against Aberdeen the last time was first game back from the World Cup, and it was up with Audrey, it took us to the 89th minute before Cal McGregor put the winner in, and it was good that we got that early goal. I know we got an early goal in the first game of the season against them as well, so just sort of makes it that much easier because they can't completely sit back, although as you say, they didn't have a shot on target, and apart from a few Joe Hart moments, and I don't think there was any real sort of danger, and it keeps up that amazing record that Carter Vickers and Starfelt have got, that they've never lost a league game where they've both started. So it's been really good to see and standout performances throughout the team. But Tony, who stood out for you? Obviously, the 4 of the 5 goals against St Mirren came from players off the bench, in terms of Ray Hotati, Matt O'Reilly and O as well. What did you make of them? They obviously got rewarded with a start on Saturday.
So the young boy for Aberdeen, Hayes, was good. He looked the part. I thought we started the game like a team who could go top of the league for the first time in the season, or as if we could win the title. We were just absolutely rampant. We just flew out the charts, and I was a bit taken aback, and I really shouldn't be, because it's just Anne Postecoglou's Celtic, but I thought we were phenomenal. The first 15 minutes the game was done. We just looked relentless. It was like we were possessed, and it would be dead easy. I do say this every week for us to take the eye off a ball and throw in a stupid performance, but the big man is just not having any of it, and neither are the players. There's obviously such high competition for places. I mean, you look at the bench, Abada comes on, scores again. I think he might be our highest goal scorer in the league, and I think he starts most games on the bench. Just any time there's an opportunity for somebody to take their chance, he seemed to come on and do it. Happened to Adam Moy as well, when he got into the team, started producing. O'Reilly back in the team, I think he's playing well again. He got his goal last week, and then against Aberdeen, I thought he was good. It's just, as Danny says, and I think Andy says, it's just a pleasure to watch these guys play football. I know Itati's getting all the plaudits, and rightly so. He's a phenomenal player, and I think I agree with Andy. He can go wherever he wants if he keeps playing like that. I mean, we've seen him in the Champions League, and I thought he played well in that as well. He set up one of the goals, and his passing and movement, finding space, his touches are just great to watch. And I think you're right. I think he did kind of run out of steam last season, but this season you've seen a full pelt, Neil Hitati, which is just brilliant to watch, and such a great player, such a crucial player. I like Big O as well, I must admit. I really like him. I think he's got a bit about him. I think he is very much involved. He's trying to get in behind. He's trying to get stuck into defenders. I think he'll be very useful for us. And I was glad he got off the mark against St Mirren as well. I think he'll score goals, and I think he'll be an asset for the team. Abada is still really early. I mean, when he came on, he was fine. He didn't make any errors. There was nothing concerning about him. Vickers, again, just solid. Starfelt was good as well. I don't know if he had any dodgy moments. Just everything in the news gone really well, which I'm sure we'll talk about what all roads seem to lead to is obviously Sunday. But Itati's two goals are quite similar. Just placing the ball in the corner with his right foot. The build-up to the third goal and his second goal is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the touch he takes, he barges off one guy, nutmegs the other, and then he follows in. He doesn't give up on it. Once he's passed that way, he's coming right in there. I think McGregor's pass to Kyogo wasn't quite accurate, and he bounces back to Itati, and he finishes well. I think we all know Aberdeen are a poor team, but sometimes when you change manager, these stupid teams can get revitalised. But there was just no chance for them whatsoever. It was just Celtic decided they were going to win the game and win it quick, and they did. And I think 4-0 was probably a good result for Aberdeen in the end. If he wanted, it could have been 10. And when guys are coming along, like Abada, as I say, is Kyogo coming off the bench. I mean, it's probably the worst thing for Aberdeen to look and see that he's coming on. I mean, the strength and depth is such a massive boost for us. The five subs, there's no two ways about it, benefits us because of the squad we have. Haksabanovic, I'd like to see him get a goal soon because I think he's a really good player. Before the World Cup break, he was really, really contributing, and obviously I think he had an injury, and now he's obviously not getting the game time he would want. Even Forrest came on, and I think he filled Billy Collins, so that's kind of trampled him to the deck. I mean, that's as good as an assist for a goal, really. So big credit to James. That does not mean under any circumstances he should start on Sunday. And if he does start on Sunday, I'm afraid Anne's might be in for his first ever major criticism in this podcast. But I think in the league they know, we're just as much as we're under pressure because Rangers have won every game apart from the game they played against us. And I think they would probably expect you to have made ground on us. And unbelievably, they're actually further behind due to the fact we scored more and we concede less. So, but we've dealt with the fact that they keep winning really, really well. Even on Saturday, I think they won 3-0, we go and win 4-0, so we've not really offered them a sniff to kind of get back into the title race. There's obviously still a bit of work to be done so that we can make sure we lift our 53rd league title, which I'm sure we will, but we just don't seem to be letting up. But there's not really much more to say about the Aberdeen game. I'm sure everybody listening's fucking forgot all about it, and all eyes looking towards Hamden, and all roads lead to Hamden, all that cliche bullshit. So, hi Dan, I'll let you move on to talk about the League Cup final.
Yep, as you say, this is what everybody's waiting on. It is Celtic v Rangers in the Viaplay
League Cup final this Sunday at Hampden Park, 3 o'clock kickoff. It is Celtic against Rangers. As you say, both teams in brilliant form. Like it's got to be said, although I think it's sort of what's to be expected. We are playing absolutely brilliant, and their form's all right as well. And like, but I think especially this season, you've got a top two and a bottom ten in this league. It's sort of, I think, I wouldn't read too much in it because they've had a few where they've got off with it as well. But just anybody that was listening there, I think Tony's already started walking to Hampden. You could hear him walking and running there, but he's that desperate to get there. But
sorry, I'm definitely no running. I'm walking very slowly in my treadmill because I thought you wouldn't hear me if I walked slow, but obviously that's not the case. So I will come off the treadmill when I'm done. I've actually been on it for over an hour. I'm trying to work off some beers for the weekend. So I'll come off it for my next segment.
Aye. As I say, Danny, I'll bring you in. It's Celtic v Rangers, League Cup final. As big as it gets. Celtic looking to get their hands, well, retain their trophy. It was obviously Ange's first trophy last season. We've got a fantastic record. We've won it in 2015, 2017, 18, 19, 20, and then 22. So it's obviously a massive game for both teams, but it's added significance given that it's going to be the first trophy it's decided since they replaced their manager, would you say?
And just for Tony, I think I need to be on the treadmill, so maybe we should start a treadmill podcast. It takes on added significance because it's a cup final. Theoretically, both teams are still on for a domestic treble, although there's one team more likely than the other. But who knows, you know what I mean, anything can happen in a cup final. It's a derby game against them in a cup final. It decides a trophy, whether it's the fucking Glasgow Cup, the League Cup, the Scottish Cup, Champions League, Europa League. It's the most important final of the season because it's the next one. So it's a massive game. They've won other games bar one since Michael Beale came in. We've won all our games bar one since they came in. We happen to draw with each other. Although they're using drawing with Celtic as a bit of an achievement, which is a bit of a come down from the We Are The People magnets. I think, you know, they've got so many of their players are the best in the country in their position, yet they're using a draw against Celtic as an achievement for their new manager. I've seen some of their games under Beale. I don't think they're particularly good. But by all accounts, they did go to Tynecastle and demolish Hearts, so who are fucking rank rotten, by the way. But they went to Hearts and demolished them, and you know, a 3-0 win at Livingston, even if you do get your standard penalty, and then the opposition gets a player sent off, as always happens with them. Even if that happens, 3-0 at Livingston is a good result. So, I don't think they're good. I don't think they're as good as us. I think we've got a consistency across the whole season that we're clearly better than them. But anything can happen in a cup final, so you don't want to, you know, count all your chickens. But I think if you put the two teams out there, I don't see any of their players that get into our team in current form anyway. And they've just inducted three players into the Hall of Fame, and you'd be hard pressed to see any of them even got on our bench. So we need to certainly turn up the win. I think it's that simple. But we're not just playing Rangers on Saturday, Sunday. We're playing against VAR as well, who seems to have helped one team more than it's helped any others. So there's always a danger with that, but it's got to be a massive game. They're some of them are confident, some of them aren't. They're the same as us, but they think, I mean, they're unbeaten, aren't they, since Beale came in, so they've got every right to be confident. But I just think, for seeing what we've done over the last couple of weeks, and we're getting better and better. On Saturday was just a pleasure to watch, and having the last time I watched them was Partick Thistle. And Thistle could easily put them out of the cup. So if you're looking at it, current like performances, Celtic should win, but it's a cup final and everything's up in the air, and there's just too many factors, and you know, they've got their best player, Nick Walsh, starting for them.
Aye, as you say, it's every final's massive. Obviously the last time we played them in a final, we won through Christopher Julian's goal, but I think fresh in the mind, I think for Ange and Roy Flairs will be that disappointment against them at Hampden last season when they put us out in extra time in the Scottish Cup semi-final. I think, I know they wouldn't come out and say it publicly, but I think the players and the manager will be desperate to sort of rectify that, because it's like, where we came from last season, like, everybody was delighted we ended up with a double and back in the Champions League, but it was a disappointing way to sort of get the Scottish Cup, because I think that day we were poor, but we still had great, we took the lead, and then Carter Vickers hits the bar from about 5 yards out, and then we just sort of collapsed, we ended up with a sort of makeshift, I think it was, ended up with Anthony Ralston at left back and Stephen Welsh at right back, and extra time it just sort of all crumbled, and we lost to them, and I think on the basis of the way extra time went, it was deserved that day, so I think there's a lot of points to prove, like, like everybody on here is confident enough that the league will come back to Celtic Park, and I think you see that even their manager, who seems to have a lot to say, was all but out conceding the league in February last week, and then I think he made a wee joke about Chris Sutton just to try and distract the his adoring public, but it'll be, I think there's a lot of pressure on us, because we are the cup holders, we're top of the league, we're the champions, we're expected to go and get this win and put on a performance, because make no doubt, if we win the game, then every Celtic fan will appreciate it and savour it, but you're just going to have a load of the press and other supporters speaking about how they're in transition, and it's a new manager who's only been there for a month and a half, and all that sort of palaver that you're going to hear, like, and it's, the pressure is on us, and I know you've got a few players like Greg Taylor and Callum McGregor, James Forrest, who have been there when Celtic have been winning trophy after trophy, but this is what this new team that Ange's built is going to have to, everybody's going to have to get to know is like how to consistently go to Hampden and win these big games and bring trophies home to Celtic Park, and it's going to be quite an occasion. Andy, what are you expecting from it on Sunday? And Danny's mentioned obviously Nick Walsh is the referee, and I think John Beaton's controlling VAR as well. It's stuff we need to be aware of now, but I don't know about you, but I think one thing we need to watch on Sunday is that hopefully the pitch is in much better state than it was for the semi-finals.
Oh, 100% on the pitch. We all know what it was like for the semi, so I've not seen any footies or anything like that, which hopefully tells me that it's in far better nick. I would assume if it was still a fucking mess, then it would be, there would be footies surfacing on Twitter and things like that, so fingers crossed in that front. But I think, like you say, it's, listen, I agree. I think we're a better team. I think we've got a better starting 11. We've got a better squad. We've got better depth. And none of their players get in our team. But ultimately, it's a cup final. Anything can happen. I mean, even when we played them a few weeks back at the start of the year, it was, obviously there was a lot of confidence getting into the game, and It obviously, if it ends up in a draw, with a late equaliser, but I think it has shown you what can happen. Form often goes out the window in these games, for one of potentially many reasons. But I think even for then, we're in a far better place now. Obviously, there was quite a lot of factors into that game. Like, it was Johnston's first game, Forrest was back in, the sort of bench then probably wasn't as strong as it was now. Like, you still had like Abelgaard and things like that on it. Obviously there was a lot of rumours sort of surrounding Jackie Marcus. Like, we weren't quite in the position that we're in now, and again it was probably a bit of an off day for a few players, but that can happen, and I think it's the same sort of has got to be looked on at the final. And while I'm confident that we can go out and sort of keep the form that we've been in, I think that's something that's, you can't be complacent, and the players have got, these are the games that, like, as you say, like, McGregor's done this time and time again. He stepped up in the big stages, stepped to Hampden and go to the line, and I think that's when guys like him really need to sort of take that to the next level. Joe Hart's obviously played in big games, we spoke about that before. Taylor's been out and won trophies. Like, these guys have got to help the other players run about them and sort of settle their nerves, if you like, in these stages and just show up and just play our game. But I think that we couldn't really be in better form, especially after that first half performance against Aberdeen and starting with that relentlessness. And I think if that start and the way we went about that was anything to go by, I think we're in as good a place as we probably could be getting into this game. And again, as touch wood for now until the game comes, there's no really be any sort of injuries or unsuspecting injuries. Even the doubt that we had with Kyogo, it was obviously feared a lot worse than it was. He came on, I think he got 20 minutes against Aberdeen, looked absolutely fine to me. So you would suspect he's coming back in. So I absolutely buzzing in terms of where the squad's at. Darn, I think we couldn't really be in a better place in terms of fitness, and hopefully that stays the same for now until the game comes around. But it's a massive one, even in terms of the season. And you want to give them absolutely nothing. As you say, since he's come in, they would have you believe that they've got the best player in every position in the league and they've got the best manager in the league. But it turns out he's seen them into a worse position and further behind us than the manager before him. And he played us in what looked like our probably biggest half day we've had, other than St Mirren. We went to Ibrox and they still couldn't beat us. So I think that tells you everything you need to know about them and their squad. But it's all about us. It's about how we start and how we get into the game and how quickly we really sort of get to the levels that we can get to and that we've seen, and then we get a tune out of the players. I think one or two players are due a performance against them. I think we've all been saying for long enough that Matt O'Reilly's been due a performance against Rangers. There's another couple of players you could probably add to that list that you've maybe been expecting to turn up in just a massive game like this, and really sort of put themselves at the forefront. But hopefully that can happen for Sunday or for all of them. But there's obviously nerves getting into these games, Dan. I think that's the same. It's the matter. Can you play them? You're 40 points ahead of them, or you play them and it's a cup final, one half game. It's always there, and particularly when you've got fucking diddies that are going to be in charge of officiating. You've got diddies that are in some VAR room making mental decisions in the background. But we've got to, ultimately, it's whether we like it or we don't, that's going to happen. There's going to be decisions that go against, there's going to be everything else, but we've just got to be good enough to get past it all, and we've just got to be better. But I believe that we're in such a place that we can go out and we can just blow them away with our intensity in the way that we play. And I think, as I said, that's, we couldn't really be in better form. I'd have the squad in better shape getting into this game, and you couldn't really ask for it. So looking forward to it. And as I said, I'm cautious, but I'd say confident at the same time. I think we've got enough to go and really sort of stamp our authority early in the game. And I think you've seen that with the way we started against Aberdeen.
Yep, and Tony, I'll just get your first thoughts on the game on Sunday. As Andy said, we're pretty much in an almost perfect place, like in terms of the form, but obviously that sort of set aside a bit by the fact that they're in identical form since we came back from the World Cup as well, but a much sort of a better squad than I'd say we had for the semi-final last season, and obviously a few less injuries as well. I think maybe Aaron Moyes may be the only serious sort of injury doubt in terms of players that might start on Sunday, but what's your thoughts on it?
I don't want to say we're in identical form, I would say we're in better form just because of the goals. The goal difference is quite significant, but I get what you mean. They've been very good since Beale came in terms of, he seems to have mastered beating the garbage in this league quite quickly, which is something some of the managers over the years have failed to do. He seems to have got a grip of it quite quickly, which is good for him, I suppose. I mean, we're the better team. I don't think anybody, well, I'm sure there are some, not cases that probably debate that, but we are the better team.
We've got the more experience, we've got the better manager in terms of experience as well. But I feel a lot of the pressure's on us. I mean, a lot of our fans have slated Beale since the second he's arrived, and obviously a lot of people have called him a rookie manager, etc., etc. Well, let's go out and prove that he is, and go out and batter him, because I think in the Ibrox game, he kind of got the better of us. He quickly worked out that if you put the ball and behind Juranovic, that Juranovic was struggling, and that's where I think the two goals came for. The penalty came for that, and so did the Kent goals. So I think we need to be sharper. If we could get an early lead, we need to build on it. Don't offer them back into it. Joe Hart, if there's a time where you think you're going to end up having to hit one of their players with the ball, just go long. Just go long. We don't always need to play it for the back. Don't give them anything to jump on, because that last time was the confidence boost for them. For 20 minutes, we passed them half a part. They couldn't get near us. They were embarrassing for 20 minutes when we offered them a route back in. I think we know the referees in this country. We've talked them to death, and I'm going to go for the Jock Steen approach and go if you play to our ability, they won't matter. So I guess I'll see how it goes on Sunday. Just the players need to make sure their hands are by their sides if Rangers are anywhere near the box, because they won't hesitate to give a penalty. Just no tackles that could go to VAR and overturn. I think we need to be flawless to win this final, and I think we're capable of it. We've not had a great performance at Hampden under Postecoglou. I don't think when we beat Hibs we were great. I don't think we beat St Johnstone were great. Obviously Rangers beat us in the Scottish. And then the last Kelly game, I thought we were okay, but I thought we were always going to win that game just because Kelly aren't very good. So I guess the pressure's on both teams, because if you beat them, then it kind of takes the sting right out of them. But I feel as though we're the champions, we're the League Cup holders, we're the best team in this country, we're the top of the league, we're the team everybody's trying to hunt down, and you don't want to offer up the first trophy to Michael Beale. He's the first one he's went for, the same way they didn't want to do it to Ange, but Ange managed it. I think if we can go out and beat them, then that kind of puts them in a back stick getting into next season as well. Obviously, still get the Scottish Cup to contend as well, which they won last year. But again, for us, is the biggest club in Scotland and the most powerful, etc., and most money, blah, blah, blah. You need to be looking at a treble, and if we can win the League Cup, it's the first step towards it. I think if things don't go our way, it'll take a couple of days to settle, but it'll just be a case of we'll need to go on, mate. But I think we'll win. I do think we'll win. I think Ange will be determined to win this trophy as much as he's ever wanted to win a trophy in his life. I think he knows what's at stake. I think it's quite clear that the two managers don't particularly like each other. They're sniping each other in the press. Beale's done a hell of a lot of talking since he came in. So it's up to us to go and show that we don't care who their manager is, we still feel like winning every trophy. So, no, I think it'll be a good game. I'm flying in early for it, so hopefully no delays or bad weather. Hampden is a kind of stadium, that's the thing as well, but hopefully it's up to speed and it's a decent day in terms of weather-wise and we win the trophy. But I don't want to say I'm looking forward to it, because it's not like a league game where if you drop points, you're still talking a league, you lose a final and that's it, lost and gone. So I'm sure it'll be a nervy affair, but I'd love us to come flying out the traps and give them a tanking that we did back in September. So it's a good game for Scottish football, but hopefully it's a game we win. That's all I do like hearing it.
Aye, definitely. I think it is sort of significant in terms of, as I said, I think everybody in sound mind probably thinks that Celtic will go on and win the league, but you don't even want to give them that sort of hope that if they were to get a win on Sunday, that would then lead to them saying, oh, there's two derby games to go, and then any sort of doubt that creeps into your mind. And plus, I think there's a danger that, I know you say you need a couple of days to recover if we were to the unthinkable happen and they were to win, but I think it would really hurt me. Like, I think the season would sort of peter out. I still think we'd win the league, and obviously you're still going for the Scottish Cup as well, but I think just in terms of it'd just be great, as you said, to put them back in their place, give them a real doing, like we've done at Celtic Park a few times, but date on the big stage and win a cup in the process would be just be fantastic. But it's like that game in 2019, we were outplayed for the most part, and bar Fraser Foster, like we would have lost that game. I don't, obviously that game's not got any relevance to this one, because you've only got two players that
played that day for Celtic that are still there in terms of Cal McGregor and James Forrest. They were the only two that started that day. So, like, it's a new experience. I know Mason will have played in the semi-final last year, but it's completely different to a final in terms of, like, you've got to stay and watch and see your opponents go and lift a trophy if you're the ones that have lost it. So it's as I say, it's a big game. Players that come to Celtic, they expect to play in big games, but now they've got to stand up and be counted when it comes to it. And Danny, I'll bring you in. I'm talking about players that will need to come in and stand up and be counted. So why don't you tell us what would your starting lineup look like on Sunday?
I think the lineup picks itself. I think Atati replaces Moyer replaces O'Reilly, and they play the same 11 as the other 10 that started Saturday. Kyogo coming in for O as well. I forgot O started, but it's Hart, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Taylor, Johnston, Atati, Moy, McGregor, Jota, Maeda, and Kyogo. I'd be tempted to play Avada because he's did well against them. He does well against them, particularly when he starts games. Doesn't seem to affect him when he comes on against them, unfortunately. But I think you just go with what's on, with who's on for him. And now Maeda has been fucking brilliant. He terrorised Tavernier, their new Hall of Fame inductee at Ibrox, for, you know, the first off, fucking tore him apart umpteen times. Scored a great goal. He's on for him at the minute. Jota's looked very good for me the last couple of weeks. I thought he was brilliant Saturday. And he was unlucky with a few crosses and a few shots that he could have, and another day might have went in. So I'm expecting a big performance out of Atati as well. I think I just find it bizarre. Tony's right. It's like we've got the best team in the country by a mile. We've got all the best players, and suddenly they've got these amazing world class players that fucking Kamal Roof's the best player in the league and stuff, It's like, why are they like this? Do you know what I mean? It's like, why can they not just enjoy a nice thing? They need to go and it's because they crave the relevance after Celtic support. They need us to sit on here and be like, do you know what, actually, he'd probably get an our team. Whereas if your team turns up and plays well, they'll win. And we know that. And I'm expecting Hitati, who toiled a long, long time before the semi-final last year. Let's be honest, he fell right out. He was probably shattered, but he's been unbelievable this season. I'm expecting a big performance out of him. Thought he played well at Ibrox as well, actually, but I'm expecting a big show out of him. McGregor, he's probably been to more finals than anybody. Him and Forrest, but McGregor certainly played in more. I'd say McGregor started more finals than Forrest, but I don't know that for sure. But expecting him. Moy is forced his way into the team. He's been brilliant since the turn of the year of the World Cup. Expecting a big performance out of him. And Kyogo got his first goal the last time, expecting him to come on for that. So I'm expecting the whole team to play well. I think Tony or Dan that touched on it, but up until Greg Taylor went half injured at Ibrox, we were cruising, we were knocking the ball past half the park. Their fans were starting to get a bit jumpy. The thing is with them is they play in spells. That's their problem, is they don't put consistent 90-minute performances out that we do. We play well for 90 minutes. They play well for 10, 15 minutes, maybe twice or three times in a game. And that's when they get their goals. And it happened to us in January when we had a dodgy 10 minutes at the start of the second half. They played well for 10 minutes, got two goals. And then suddenly, well, we went for a goal up after 5 minutes. We went for thinking, God, this could be a doing to, fuck me, we're chasing this game. So if we can just weather the storm that they get, and they're bound to have pressure, they're bound to have chances, if we can just weather that 10, 15 minutes, we'll be fine. And we just need to, when we'll have made the ball, I'd imagine we'll have made the play, we just need to make it count. But, you know, they're getting on about some boy who's played well against Livingston and Partick Thistle, this Raskin boy. They were raving after 9 minutes, I think, after he came off the bench. So it's going to be up to Hitati to show him what a football player is on Sunday. But if we win our battles, we'll win the game. It's just all about sticking. Like the semi-final last year is probably the one black mark on the season. The rest of the season, you know, there was excuses for Europe, you know, the Champions League especially. You know, Ange had to play fucking Dane Murray and Stephen Welsh at the back in a Champions League qualifier. Europa League, the team was still gelling, and we took a few doings, but we played well in Europa League. Conference League, we were poor in the Conference League against Bodo Glimt, that's fair to say. But the Cup semi-finals, probably the one black mark where you're like, fuck, that was really bad. And it was as if we ran out of steam that day. And then, no saying we crawled out of line in the league. We were very worthy winners of the league last season, but it was kind of, you were just a relief to win the league in the end, after what had happened the season before. But the semi-final, we just kind of came to a stuttering halt after Carter Vickers hit the bar. Otherwise, we were cruising. So if you just avoid getting them anything to hang on to and don't let Nick Walsh and John Beaton take over, then we should be fine. But hopefully we're talking about how good Tatey again was. And if he does start, I mean, Ange does like O'Reilly. He might go with O'Reilly. He does like O'Reilly against them. If he's to go with O'Reilly, then we need a big performance out of O'Reilly. I'm a big Matt O'Reilly fan, as Darren knows. Me and him have came to no arguments, but we've had words about O'Reilly. And even I must admit, he played with him, Sarah Ibrox. He didn't. He looked as if he didn't. He was lost at times. And hopefully he comes on for it. But if he starts on Sunday, he's the one player that we need a big performance out of. Otherwise, it could be, it might not go our way.
Aye, you're right, and as you say, I mean, you've spoken about him at length this season, only a Randolph there, but it's one of the ones. I'd be quite happy if O'Reilly comes in, see if Moy doesn't make it for whatever reason. Don't get me wrong, if Moy's fit, then I think he ultimately starts and O'Reilly is the one that misses out. But I think the last few weeks there's been a bit more about O'Reilly. He's obviously got that goal, and I know count my chickens until I see their lineup, but I think they're sort of struggling in that bit of midfield at the moment. So I know you've got guys like, I don't know who you'll get to shout it on Sunday if Lundstrom misses it, but I was reading earlier that him and Jack and Arfield and Tillman are all struggling with injuries. So I think that's a real position in the park that Celtic can really look to exploit and win in a lot of these games. If you win the midfield battle, then you win the game ultimately. So I think whoever is in there with Hitati and McGregor, it's just going to be like a key area, as it always is. But O'Reilly did perform within himself at Ibrox, as you say, but he wasn't the only one. We obviously had Juranovic was terrible that day, and James Forrest was a passenger as well. And but you've got to look at that. That's where like the sort of strength of your squad's going to come in. It's not necessarily the 11 at start that are going to win you the game or win you the cup, but you look at that game at Ibrox, it was guys like Jota and Moy and Jack and Marcus who came off the bench that were ultimately the ones that dragged us in back into that game and got us a point. Obviously Kyogo scored the goal, but the goal came through Jota, Moy and Jack and Marcus sort of build up. So it is like Ange often says it, it's no like, I don't think you should really take being on the bench as a sort of slant on yourself, because especially with the five subs, there's high chance that the subs are going to have every bit as much to say where the cup goes as the players that start, especially if you're tied at 90 minutes, you're obviously going for an extra half an hour as well. So it's going to be a massive game. I think the team that starts will obviously be important. And if you get any sort of differences, or is it like Danny says, do you think the team picks itself? Would you get any sort of wild cards? I know you spoke about Hak Sabanovic there. Do you think there's any chance he could be brought in?
No, Hak Sabanovic. I mentioned this to you in using the group chat after the game against Aberdeen. I just had a wild notion that maybe you might have started the water just to release McGregor a bit further forward. I'd probably agree with what Danny said earlier in terms of the team, that I think it will just be Moy coming back in and Kyogo coming back in, but aside for that, everyone else staying as it was, and I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case. But it was just after the game, I just had a mad notion that maybe he throws a bit of a curveball, as he did when Forrest came in and puts a water sort of in, because I mean them as well, they'll probably look to try and nullify the threat of McGregor and keep McGregor quiet, so it could obviously scupper a bit of, or any chance of a game plan at that, because it would call for a rejig before kickoff. So, I think the team does pick itself, given as long as sort of Moyes back fit. Because obviously, you know, Kyogo's injury wasn't his first field, so I think it will just be Johnston, Carvickle, Starfield, Taylor, McGregor, Hitati, Moy, Jota, Maeda, and Kyogo. I think that will be the team. As I say, it was just a notion I had after the game. And Saturday, again, that might have just been the bevy tong. Who really knows? But I'd be surprised. I think it would be mega harsh on Naples as well. But I completely agree with you, and I think a lot of the team get that. It's not the first time this season that we've spoke about the impact players have made coming off the bench and the intensity they play with coming off the bench. It's not as if they're coming in and they're sort of coasting and sort of know at it. I think a lot of the time you see your subs come on and they're trying to make an impression, and that's because they know that they can get an opportunity, and if they take it, the manager will start to set up and take notice. And that's their way of sort of playing their way into the first team. Do you know what I mean? At the start of the season, I don't think anybody would have thought Moy would be in people's preferred 11s over O'Reilly. And I think that would have been fair assessment at the start of the season, but you've obviously seen how that's changed. Maeda was splitting opinion. Now he's sort of right in ahead of Abada, whose sort of numbers last season were outstanding. So I think that says a lot about the mentality of the players. And again, if we've got the opportunity to make five subs in a game, it's with the quality and the depth that we've got on our bench, the subs you're making are just as important. Is the starting 11 on there? So I think that will certainly, if this team is as we're all expecting it to be, pretty predictable. I think there's still going to be a massive part to play by the boys on the bench and whoever comes on. But not to answer the question, darn it. I would be surprised, even though I had that wee incline and it was just a thought that crossed my mind. I would be surprised if he did go and sort of throw up any massive shocks. I think that it's not as if we have to, in terms of fearing that. Well, do you know what I mean? If we play ability, we should win the game. And I think that's enough to go away. It's fine that they'll be able to predict their starting 11. Like, that's not really something we need to worry about. So I think we will revert back to that 11.
And Tony, you get any sort of changes to most people's expected 11? Obviously, the game at Ibrox, there was the shock when Alistair Johnson was brought in and James Forrest Merthyr was announced in the starting lineup, and I think we all get a fear when Danny said after the game on Saturday that was Ange getting Forrest at the freezer and defrosting him for this Sunday. Are you expecting any sort of shocks?
No, I wouldn't like to think so. I'm sure the big man's big enough to have a look at that inclusion of Forrest and say that was a mistake, but I think he'd said at the time that two other wingers were injured, so I guess they weren't fully fit. But no, I expect no changes apart from what the boys said. Moy and Kyogo to come in. Be disappointed if you started fucking about with curveballs. We've got a team that's on form. Just go with your best 11 and go and win the fucking game. It's as simple as that. So if he does that, I think we'll be in a good position. So no, I don't imagine any curveballs. I think he's too intelligent for that. I think he'll be the players that deserve to play a start.
There you go, as simple as that. I think the team will pretty much pick itself, and as I mentioned, I think that the subs will have a massive part to play, and that's why I'm delighted that like Sir Alston and Burnaby were back on the bench on Saturday as well. So it just means that if the game does get stretched and you end up losing one of your fullbacks, you've got the replacements there. I don't know, sort of the only thing I've been thinking when you have been speaking is the winger situation. I think that Maeda is a stick on to play. And I think Jota probably will. I'm 90% sure Jota will, just in terms of he's your big money signing you've brought in. He's brought in for these type of occasions. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he went with Maeda and Abada. I think that Abada has been, as Danny said, when he starts these games, he's performed really well and obviously got a good few goals in the home games as well. And he's not been as effective when he's come off the bench. But it's... I think any two of the three that start, I'll be quite happy with. I don't think there's anybody, like, apart from maybe James Forrest, that I would really raise an eyebrow in. But I can't see it happening. As Tony said, it was sort of circumstances that dictated that, I think. And I can't realise that and subbed him no longer in the second half. So I think he will have learned from that game at Ibrox. But I think, Danny, I'll get you to go first on your predictions. What do you think? What's going to happen on Sunday? Get it? You can go first.
You want me to go first? Right, well, just, it's got to be Jota. I can't believe you would even consider Jota not playing. I thought he made a real difference when he came on in January. My prediction, I think Celtic will win. I think it'll be a vindication of Ange Postecoglou's system on Sunday. And I think Celtic will win 3-0. And Hitati will score. And Jota will score. And I think Kyogo will score as well. And we'll have the cup wrapped up nice and easy Sunday night. I just think, you know what, I think Ange's team just plays, it's going to be all out for him on Sunday, and it'll be a vindication of his system, it'll be a vindication of his management so far, and it'll be a very good night for the Celtic support.
Certainly take that. What about you, Andy? What are you going for?
I'm going to go 3-1. I actually think between two ways the game will go, I actually think we'll be 2-0 up at half time. They'll get a goal back in second half, and then the subs will come on and sort of show the strength and depth that we've got and put the game to bed. I agree, Jota's absolutely got to start. That's why you buy him. That's why he's here. And maybe quite similar to what I was saying about Riley earlier, maybe another player that you're looking to really go and make a difference in a game like this. You're looking for a big performance too. That's why he's there. All eyes might be on sort of Hitati and Moy and Kyogo, but it could be a game for Jota to really sort of go to the next level against them. But I'm going to go for 3-1. And I couldn't give less of a fuck who actually scores, as long as we lift that trophy at the end of the day, then that'll do me nicely. And if we don't, you'll probably never hear from me again.
I think the podcast will take a wee break. Tony, what are you going for?
I'm going to say with Danny, I'm going to go for 3-0. Just feel as though we're just in such good form that hopefully it all comes together and we give them a tanking. If I was going to go for scorers, I'll go for just absolutely based on nothing. Alistair Johnson to score, Kyogo and Matt Riley. So, it's a long old week, so send it on.
I think, I don't know, usually I predict it will give them a doing and it works when it's at Celtic Park, but not so much. Otherwise, I think it'll be 2-0 Celtic, and I think, speaking of indication, I think it might actually be a bit of a carbon copy of the semi-final, and I think Greg Taylor will get the first goal again, and Cameron Carter-Vickers will then put in the second and get redemption for last year. I think we'll be too strong for them. I think that I wanted to predict a doing, and I think there's a good part of me that thinks we could give them a doing, and I don't think it'll take much to beat them. As Yusuf all says, I think if we play our game, focus on our players, we've got better players, we've got a better manager, and we should be able to sort of play the occasion. And as long as we don't let ourselves down and that we don't have any sort of calamities at the back, which we're well capable of, we sort of shouldn't give them any sort of glimmer of hope as well. And I think that we will bring the League Cup home and set us up for an exciting end to the season as we go chasing a treble under Ange. But I think here's a wee bonus prediction as well. I think that Michael Beale will refuse to take his losers medal because Chris Sutton's presenting it. That's my wee extra prediction. But that'll do us for this preview. We will be back at some point, probably result dependent. If it's a good win, we'll be out in the Swally for a few days, no doubt. And if we lose, we'll probably be out in this valley for a few days for another reason as well. But we will be back at some point next week, hopefully, celebrating another trophy for Ange Postecoglou's Celtic. If you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening. Make sure to check out our social media to find out the latest on what's happening with the podcast. Cheers.
Make history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.